The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Brandy Spergotta for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from Oprah Magazine. Out there right now, but at least one thing is pretty clear. This is not your mother's economy. That doesn't mean you can't handle it. Far from it. You just need a new set of rules. When it comes to money, having rules can be particularly helpful. Why? Because although there are some elements of the financial world that you can't control, like stock prices, rising interest rates, and 1,000 others, you can reduce the amount of volatility in your financial life by controlling what you can. And when you do that successfully, it's going to bring your financial stress level way down. If you're looking for financial empowerment, less worry, and a greater sense of control over your money, it's time to breathe these new rules in and make them a part of your playbook from here on out. As we say at HerMoney.com, you got this. Getting paid is good, getting paid more is better. The gender wage gap, where women earn just 82 cents for every dollar a white man earns, women of color earn even less, is closing. In fact, the Pew Research Center notes women under the age of 30 have made pretty big strides. They earn 93 cents on average, up from 88 cents in 2020. And young women in big cities earn comparatively even more. The problem is, those gains don't stick as we age and take breaks from work to do things like have kids and take care of our parents. But no matter how old you are or where you live, what you have to remember about the gap is that it's an average. An average is one thing you are not. First, acknowledge that you deserve more. As Sally Krawcheck, founder of the female-led fintech firm Elevest, likes to say, nothing bad happens when women have more money. She's right. Women are more willing to use our money to create the change we want to see in the world, from ensuring our children have resources for college to giving our money to the causes and candidates we believe in. But in order to get more, you have to make your case. That means doing the research to know what a job like yours should pay or what a business like yours should charge. Sites like Payscale.com and Glassdoor.com can help. Then unapologetically ask for more while pointing out the additional value you're bringing to your employer or clients. Our favorite gender wage gap eliminating phrase, can you do better? Know your money type. Have you ever wondered why you are the way you are with money? Why you have trouble spending it even if you're sitting on a flush cash cushion, or why it flows through your fingers like water? Here's the deal. Everyone has a money type. A money personality that was largely formed during our childhood. It's not what your parents taught you, rather it's what you absorbed and what you felt about money. As inflation eats into every dollar you bring into your wallet and a volatile stock market leads investors down dangerous rabbit holes, it's even more important to understand your money type in order to shield yourself from your lesser impulses. How do you do that? Start by asking yourself some probing questions. What was the atmosphere like in your childhood home? Was there stress every time a bill dropped? Was there tension rather than joy around the holidays? What money messages did you get from your mom or dad? Even better, take our money type personality assessment. It will give you a clearer picture and a set of directions to follow specifically for you. Particularly right now, understanding where we come from with our money is a must. Because while you can't unsee your childhood, you can overcome your financial hang-ups to live a richer adult life. Got debt? You can still have a life. The old thinking was that you had to abolish your debt first, then you could focus on the future. Now we know it's better to both pay down your debt and save for the future simultaneously. Why? Because those early years of saving and investing are far too valuable to leave on the sidelines while you're wailing on those student loans. So here's the playbook. Put every next dollar where it's going to get you the greatest return. In general, that means you grab your 401k or other retirement account match first. A 50% match is a 50% guaranteed return on your money. Then pay off any high interest rate credit card debt. Next, come back to work on maxing out that retirement plan contribution. And as for those student loans, don't stress about accelerating your payments. Refinance private ones so that the interest rate is as low as possible, then just pay them off over time. With federal ones, either stick to the 10-year clock or use an income-based repayment plan to lower your monthly payments to make the rest of your financial life manageable. Emergency savings are no joke. Pandemic lesson number one, emergencies happen. Being prepared means having liquid savings, not money that's tied up in investments, but money in a bank account or credit union that you can access quickly and easily. We were great at that while we were on lockdown and receiving stimulus checks. The personal savings rate, which is the percentage of after-tax income that is saved or invested rather than spent, kicked up each time we got a stimulus check, and it remained in double digits through most of the pandemic. Today, we've blown through those savings, thanks again inflation, and are only putting away 5%. That's nowhere near enough. Yes, having $1,000 or $2,000 set aside is great, but ideally you'll bulk that up enough to have 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses on hand. So add up what those costs would be for you and start automatically moving $100 or even $200 into a separate account every month until you're there. Note, we think tax refunds make a great emergency cushion starter too. And yes, it has to live in a bank despite the fact that you're not going to get a great return on the money. One thing you can do to improve your returns a smidge, particularly as interest rates rise, is to look for a high-yield savings account, or HYSA. These accounts, typically located at credit unions or internet banks, will more quickly pass each interest rate hike from the Federal Reserve onto you. Some good ones are Ally, Marcus, and Citizens. Grandma actually did know best. Maybe you'd already begun to suspect this, but Nana did not steer you wrong. And when emergencies happen, the old-fashioned habits you might have picked up from family over the years may be the same ones that will help you through the storm. For example, Grandma knew how to get the most out of every meal. She'd roast a chicken for dinner, then whip the leftovers into a chicken salad sandwich for lunch the next day, and use the carcass to flavor a soup or stew. She also didn't need a $35 boot camp class to stay in shape because she'd mow the lawn, walk everywhere, or put in a new garden. Oh, and you know the cash stuffing trend that's all over TikTok? Basically, you get your paycheck in cash, then divvy it up into envelopes allocated for all the spending categories in your life. Groceries, beauty, your pooch. We love it, in part because research shows you'll spend less with cash than you will with debit, credit, or even Venmo. The actual green stuff feels more valuable, so you're less likely to be willing to part with it. But it's literally just your grandma's old envelope system. Used is the new. If it's good for the planet, it's generally good for your wallet. When it comes to clothes, that means A, shopping resale, the real, Poshmark, your local consignment or thrift shop, instead of buying new. B, consigning what you're not wearing. And then C, donating what you can't consign. This is particularly important where clothes are concerned. You can thank the fashion industry for 10% of global carbon emissions, according to a World Bank report. But clothing's not the only thing to recycle. For furniture, look to Kayo for lightly used name brand pieces or to your local FreeCycle or Buy Nothing groups on Facebook for other people's cast-offs. In fact, Facebook Marketplace can be a good source to pretty much anything you need, from tools to pet supplies. And when Fido outgrows the crate you got from someone else, yep, you can recycle it all over again. My money is more valuable than our money. The State of Women 2022, a survey of 1,000-plus women conducted by HerMoney.com and the Alliance for Lifetime Income, revealed that fewer than one-third of women in a relationship have merged all their money with a spouse or partner, and only 2% of singles say they'd merge everything in the future. We get it, and we love to see it. Every woman needs money she can use to spend, save, invest, and give at her discretion without asking anyone's permission. Even if you don't earn income outside the home, this is true for you too. Set up a separate account and funnel some of the household's money into it automatically with every paycheck. Do the same for your spouse or partner for their autonomous needs. And note, you don't have to keep all your money separate, but you should, without a doubt, keep some of your earnings reserved just for you. The side hustle is the new safety net. When it comes to investing, diversification, making sure you have a mix of investments in case one goes south, is a way to reduce your risk. Increasingly, the same is true when it comes to your livelihood. Multiple income streams can put you in greater control of your destiny. Having a side hustle or two is a way to put extra money in your pocket, but it can also keep your skills sharp and grow your network. For example, if you're a crafty or a particularly eagle-eyed thrifter, set up an Etsy shop to sell your wares or finds. Develop an online course to teach others your superpower. Or make some money from whatever excess capacity you have. Rent out a spare room, your parking spot, even your car on a car-sharing site like Turo. Plus, if that primary job starts to feel like it's no longer a good fit, you'll have a fallback that you might be able to ramp up quickly. Think of it like having an FU fund only for your career. Spend your values. Want to know the real secret to using your money to buy you happiness? Not everyone values experiences over things or travel over trinkets. And as new research from UCLA psychology professor Patricia Greenfield shows, the pandemic shifted our values a bit. We're now more interested in conserving resources, growing our own food, and spending time with the older members of our families. But again, these are averages. The key is figuring out what you value. To do that, track your spending for a month or go back over your last month's spending using your credit and debit card bills as well as your Venmo history. Look at each line item and ask yourself, would I spend this money again? If you get a yes, those are the things you value. The ones that get a no or maybe should be the first to go when it's time to trim your budget. Save 15% of everything. The old rule of retirement saving used to be that if you socked away 10% of everything you made from the time you started working until retirement, you'd have enough, along with Social Security, to live comfortably pretty much forever. But we're living so much longer now that 10% just isn't going to be enough. It's time we kick things up to 15%. We know that's a lot, but the good news is that any matching dollars you get from an employer, such as a 401k, count toward that 15%. If you're not sure you're on track, here are some benchmarks developed by Fidelity Investments that can help. By age 30, you should have 1x your current annual income put away for retirement. So if you earn $50,000 annually, you should have $50,000 saved. By 40, you should try to have 3x saved. So with the $50,000 example, that's $150,000. By age 50, 6x. By 60, you should have 8x. And by the time you retire, 10x. If you're not there yet, please don't panic. Just try to bump up your savings by about 2% a year until you're regularly hitting that 15% mark. You got this. Time is more valuable than money. Time and money are both limited resources, but while there is an unending list of ways to earn more money, you can't say the same about more time. So be very careful how you trade one for the other. Before taking something new onto your plate or even accepting a calendar invite for a meeting or event, ask yourself, what am I giving up? What will I be saying no to so that I can say yes to this? When we're happier about the time and money trade-offs we're making, we're more likely to feel empowered with our money and have less stress. Which is not to say you should stop working or not take on that side hustle that can lead you down a fascinating new path. Just be choosy or choosier. You know that old Ben Franklin saying, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. He didn't know it then, but he was talking about you. Whether it's an invite to an event you'd rather not attend, a Zoom that should have been an email, or a request to pick your brain, it's okay to say no. Thanks so much for asking. Unfortunately, my calendar is a little full right now, are the words that work for us. Be generous. There are decades of research that show that as long as you have enough money to be comfortable, more money won't buy more happiness. What will make you happier, however, is using your resources to help someone else. So give as often as you're able, but make sure you're doing so thoughtfully and with purpose. And understand this includes not just giving to charity. Americans give a little more than 2% of their income away each year, but also doing things that will make other people happy. Even little gestures of kindness can put a smile on your face. A recent study from the University of California, Berkeley registered a happiness pop just for feeding someone else's parking meter. The point? Not only will the recipient find joy and fulfillment, but you will too. Our next article by Trey Bodge is titled 15 Sneaky Ways to Save More Money Each Month. Have your efforts to sock away money failed miserably? Sometimes saving seems impossible, but there are lots of clever ways to save even if you're on a tight budget. Shopping and finance experts share their favorite tips and tricks for pinching those pennies every month. Number 1, turn old bills into savings. It's such a relief when you finally pay off a student loan or a long-running credit card bill, right? But rather than spending that money, Stephanie O'Connell, millennial money expert and author of The Broke and Beautiful Life, suggested turning those funds into savings contributions. If you just made the last $300 monthly payment on your student loans, start sending that $300 per month to your savings account, she says. You can use the strategy with smaller things too, like the magazine subscription you just canceled. Number 2, unsubscribe. Are you paying for things like gym memberships or smartphone apps that you don't use anymore? Justin Howe, co-founder and CEO of Rise, a savings and investment app, suggests cleaning house. Unroll.me and Truebill help you find your subscriptions and eliminate the ones you don't use, he says. This could potentially save you some big bucks this year. Number 3, negotiate. With monthly subscriptions, memberships, or other ongoing commitments like software or apps you pay for every month that you want to keep, Bobby Rebel, CFP and host of the Financial Grown-Up podcast, suggests that there may be an opportunity to negotiate a better rate. If companies know you like the service and if all it takes is the right price to lure you back, that is worth the effort for them, she says. She also suggests letting the subscription lapse if you can, as the company may offer you some great deals to woo you back. Number 4, online bargaining. You may look for coupons and cashback opportunities as you shop online, but have you tried negotiating by a site's chat function? Michael Wheeler, who teaches a negotiations course for Harvard Business School's Digital Learning Initiative, HBX, says that you can sometimes score a lower price by doing so. Start by asking for a discount in plain, clear language, he says. If you get a no, be persistent and ask again in a friendly tone. You might be happily surprised at the result. Number 5, price tracking. Amazon is known for its great prices, but that doesn't mean you're getting the lowest price every time you check out. Exercising a little patience can ensure that you're getting the best deal Amazon has to offer. David Mercer, founder of SME Pals, a blog dedicated to helping people turn their business ideas into profitable startups, suggests using a price tracker like RankTracer.com. Amazon has many thousands of sellers behind the scenes who change their prices all the time as they compete with each other, he says. Combine hourly tracking with Amazon coupons, if available, to squeeze the very lowest prices out of Amazon on a regular basis. Number 6, get price alerts. Gabriella Santiello, founder of A-Line Partners, an independent retail research firm, uses Price Alert for Amazon. If the price of my desired item decreases in price, they send a price alert email, she says. Now that many designers have Amazon shops, this trick applies just as much to apparel as it does to household goods. If you have other favorite retailers, Santiello also recommends signing up for their email lists, joining rewards programs, and downloading its app for discounts and exclusive bonuses. Number 7, earn while you shop. Liz Eichen of the Kitchen Table Finances blog has saved a bundle using the Ibotta app, which offers its users rewards for shopping with retailers like Target, PetSmart, and Boxed.com. Ibotta has helped me save money by being more mindful of what I am purchasing, Eichen says. I take a few minutes before shopping to explore the current offers on Ibotta and identify items I can earn cash back on. These savings go directly into a savings account. Number 8, brown bag lunch. You can save a couple thousand dollars a year by bringing your lunch to work, according to Jeanette Pavini, savings expert for coupons.com. The average deli meat and cheese sandwich, a bag of chips, a cookie, and iced tea costs around $11.50 a day. That's close to $3,000 a year. By making a nearly identical lunch at home, you would spend about $7. She also says that planning your weekly menu around what's on sale at the grocery store could save you at least 35% off your bill. Also, remember to join your grocery store's loyalty program, use coupons, and ask for a rain check if a sale item is out of stock so you can get the sale price when it's available. Number 9, enjoy the convenience. Curbside pickup and grocery delivery may seem like a luxury, but can actually save you money and precious time. By having the groceries come to you or by picking them up curbside at the store, you avoid the impulse purchases that can easily add 20% or more to your grocery bill, says Kimberly Foss, CFP, and bestselling author of Wealthy by Design, a 5-step plan for financial security. In addition to the money you'll save, the time you gain may be the biggest savings of all. Number 10, compare your prescriptions. Avoid overpaying for your prescriptions. Joe Sanguinetti, CEO of FamilyWise, a prescription savings program, suggests opting for generic drugs over brand name. Generics are equally effective and cost much less, he says. According to the FDA, the average cost of a generic drug is 80 to 85% lower than its brand name counterpart. He also suggests shopping around as prices may vary between pharmacies. Number 11, BYO water. If you fall into the habit of buying bottled water, you know it can add up. Instead of buying water, small business owner Zeta Kays of Wiggletot, a diaper-changing solution, carries filtered water in her favorite Joyrushi stainless steel water bottles. I estimate saving $23.33 per month because I pay $13.33 a month using filtered water versus $36.66 for bottled water brought in cases of 24, she said. The savings is even higher if I buy water at any event where the price ranges between $2 to $3 a bottle. Number 12, eat in. Eating out regularly is a very expensive habit. Stan Smith, CEO of Save Daily, a private label platform that enables everyday saving to all, suggests starting out by trying to eat out one fewer time per week. Depending on how much you eat out, this can add up to more than $30 per week in savings, he says. Do that for just a month and you have $120 more in your pocket. Smith also recommends that when you do go out, skip the alcoholic beverage or limit yourself to one if you typically order more than one. Number 13, declutter. As you're doing your spring cleaning, gather all your gently used household items and sell them to make some extra cash that you can sock away in your savings account. It has never been easier to sell your surplus stuff. Apps like LetGo, OfferUp, ThredUp, and Cherish, and even Facebook buy and sell groups can be a simple and quick way to turn that rug you no longer need or those end tables that no longer match your decor into extra savings, says Foss. Number 14, get fit. Access your fitness content from DVDs, YouTube, or low-cost apps instead of paying for that pricey gym membership. Don't want to give up all those machines and great classes? Showering at the gym is kind of a pain, but it can be a money saver. If you're a dedicated fitness junkie, take your clothes for the day with you, get ready for work at the gym, and head straight to the office from there, says Tara Falcone, CFP, and founder of Rise Up, a financial services startup dedicated to increasing financial education and access. Doing so 4 to 5 days per week can reduce your water, sewer, and electricity costs. Number 15, avoid fees. You can pay up to $10 for using the wrong ATM. ATM and other banking fees can really add up depending on what bank you belong to. You can avoid paying outrageous ATM fees by always using your own bank's ATM, or even better, some online banks allow you to use any ATM in the world for free, says Alexander Horrigan, money expert for online bank Aspiration. This is particularly great for frequent travelers who never know where they'll be taking cash out next. Horrigan also recommends switching to a bank that doesn't make money from failure fees, which result from overdrafts or paying your credit card bill late. Two banks that don't charge overdraft fees are Simple and Chime. Our next article by Kate Sandoval Box is titled, How Oprah Had an Effect on Lupita Nyong'o's Self-Esteem. When most people think of Lupita Nyong'o, they often think of her Oscar-winning role as Patsy in 12 Years a Slave or as Nakia in Black Panther. But the Kenyan star says her proudest work to date is Solway, the children's picture book she wrote 3 years ago. The deeply moving, autobiographical-inspired story of a young Black girl with skin as dark as midnight covers the topics of colorism and self-esteem in a deeply moving and ultimately inspiring way for children, but also adults, to understand. To help ensure that more children and teachers have the opportunity to read Nyong'o's story, she, along with Lancome, the nonprofit First Book, and Simon & Schuster are giving 60,000 special edition copies of Solway to underserved communities across the country and deeming October 15th Solway Day. Kate Sandoval Box, Oprah Daily's beauty director, had the opportunity to connect with Nyong'o to ask her more about the effect Solway has had on her and how her journey to self-love came about. And of course, she just had to get a few questions in about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Nyong'o's must-have skincare. You've done so much with Lancome's Write Her Future initiative, which provides education, mentoring, career services, and scholarships to young women of color. Can you speak to why that work is so meaningful and important to you? Literacy is important because it offers one opportunity and options. When you are able to read and write and express yourself in these ways, you can take charge of your own learning in a more active and empowering way. Putting literacy in the hands of women is a major part of reducing the gender gap. I have so much to thank for my literacy. How old were you when you first internalized colorism, and how has that inspired and validated the importance of getting your book into young children's hands now? My experience as a young child is exactly what inspired Solway, which is in many ways my story with a little sprinkle of magic. The first time I became aware of colorism, of course I wasn't aware of the term colorism at the time, but the first time I became aware that there was a preference for lighter skin was when my little sister was born. I was 5 and she was born extremely light-skinned. And at the time, my relatives and family friends who were visiting would often just coo over her skin color. Oh, her complexion. They talk about how beautiful she is and how easy it's going to be for her to find a husband. I ended up feeling different and less valuable to my sister because I wasn't light-skinned. I'm sure they didn't mean to relay that kind of message to me. They loved me deeply, but they weren't aware of the ways they were programmed to communicate a preference for lighter skin. And I think that's the reason why colorism is so harmful. Often the people who are perpetrating it are unaware that they're doing it. That, coupled with the other subconscious ways in which these messages are relayed in advertising and on TV, sent the message that light skin is more valuable than dark skin. And that's why getting so many copies of your book into young children's hands is important, yes? I think so. I wrote Solway to be a mirror for people who are darkly complected like me. Growing up, the books I read, Dick and Jane, Thumbelina, Cinderella, never had characters of my complexion. And on the other extreme, there were the 3 Gollywogs. So there was never a positive illustrated book with people of my complexion, and I certainly didn't have anything that was addressing the issue. Solway is also for kids and adults who may not deal with this issue firsthand, but can grow in empathy for kids who do. Colorism is not only something that affects Black people, it's something that affects everyone around the world who has been impacted by Eurocentric standards of beauty. When you think about the self-love you have for yourself now, what advice or experiences helped you get to this point? I think one of the main things was my mom's unwavering reminder that I was beautiful. She did it in direct and indirect ways. She always valued me. At the time, I was unwilling to hear it. It wasn't impressive to me that she thought I was beautiful because she was my mom. Her validation wasn't what I was appreciating at the time. But the thing about unconditional love expressed to a child is that it will come to bear when it comes to bear. I definitely came to a point where I could deeply appreciate the love that she had been imbuing in me for a very long time. Also, I remember when the model Alec Wett came onto the public scene. She greatly impacted me because she was very dark-skinned as well. When Oprah, someone I admired so much, said Alec was beautiful, it landed on me deeper than all the years of my mother saying I was beautiful. Because that was beauty being acknowledged in a public forum. The power of imagery outside of one's home is extremely important. Every child is looking for their place in the world. Can you share any examples of the power of Solway? How has it changed you or children who have read it since it was published 3 years ago? I have trouble pinpointing experiences, but I will say that it's my proudest work to date. Your pain can become your weapon or your magic wand. And for me, in many ways, it has become my magic wand. To see it on shelves, to see kids relate to it, my friends have sent me videos of their child sleeping with the book or saying that it's the only story they want to hear. And I get that from female and male kids, Black, white, Asian kids. It's so validating to me because it was taking a childhood wound of mine and making something beautiful out of it. I feel like my wound is healed and rehealed every time I hear of a parent or a child's encounter with the book. I do remember one time I was in a department store in London and a woman stopped me and thanked me for Solway because she said that she'd been very hard on her daughter and she didn't realize the ways in which she was making her insecure about her complexion. She said the book taught her how to love her daughter better. Speaking of powerful stories, we are very excited for Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. The first film created such a positive impact on representation for so many children and adults alike. What do you think the next film's impact will be? There's always a personal reason to make a film, and oftentimes it can be very different from the impact it has on the world. For me, going into this film, I went into it embracing the loss that we had experienced in the death of Chadwick and wanting to really face it, celebrate it, and use the experience as a comforting, if not healing, tool. And what I think Ryan Coogler, the film's director, has done is that he's really fully acknowledged the shared grief that we all went through with everybody who loved this film. The second film really respects that and doesn't shy away from it and offers a sense of hope because we have all experienced a lot of tragedy recently. Tragedy is a part of the human experience. How do we move past that? How do we galvanize ourselves to live another day when you've experienced loss or pain or trauma? This film really faces that and then takes us on an incredibly intense and exciting journey as only a Marvel film can do. I'm excited about the fact that this genre is embracing such realness and using it to help people have hope. Your skin is always so radiant. How do you enhance it? I think my skin is affected by my diet, so drinking lots of water and trying to get as much rest as possible cannot be underestimated. In terms of my skincare, I like to keep it simple. My favorite thing to have on me, especially when I'm traveling, is Lancôme Advanced Genifique. I enjoy makeup, but I never think of makeup as something that's hiding me. I want to be able to see my skin, so I like a lightweight foundation. That's why I wear Lancôme Taint Idol Ultra. Other than Solway, is there a book, show, podcast, or song that's made a difference in your life? Oh, yes. I am obsessed with the podcast Hidden Brain by Shankar Vendadam. He uses science and storytelling and popular references from sports, film, and lyrics to analyze human behavior so we understand ourselves better. I really love learning about human nature in his very accessible scientific way. Our next article is titled, Oprah Opens Up About Her Hair Journey. Hair is a bond that can bring Black women together and get them talking. Our hair is an integral part of our story. That's exactly why I wanted to help put the series, The Hair Tales, into the world, to validate what every Black woman has been through and create a platform to share our complex journeys filled with highs and lows, frustration and acceptance. There isn't a Black woman alive who doesn't have a hair tale. That I know for sure. Mine started at 4 or 5 years old in the kitchen, watching my aunties press each other's hair into smoothness with straightening combs and queen bergamot. You'd always hear that sizzle. For many African American women of my generation, the journey has been fraught with early perceptions that having straight hair was more meaningful and put you in a category of being prettier and setting you up for success more than having your own nappy hair. I distinctly remember having my hair pressed at a very young age, probably for Easter Sunday. My aunt gave me Shirley Temple curls, and I recall looking in the mirror and feeling as pretty as I could be with bangs rolled up. For some time, I continued straightening my hair. I was probably a teenager in Nashville when I got my first chemical relaxer to permanently straighten my hair. For many Black girls, this is a rite of passage. Fast forward to doing the local news in Baltimore when I was washing and setting my own hair. There was no hair and makeup team back then. As I tell Tracy Ellis Ross in The Hair Tales, there was this awful moment when I was told that I needed to do something about the way I looked. I was sent to a New York salon, and when I walked out, my head was covered in scabs. I was being heavily pressured and criticized in this new job, and then I lost my hair. I was 22 when it was one of the most challenging times for me as a young adult. After that, I vowed to go natural and wore an afro for a while. It was the most freeing time because I didn't have to spend energy worrying about how I was going to wear my hair. I went on to try the Jerry curl. And when that grew out, I met Andre Walker, who did my hair for 30 straight years on the Oprah Winfrey Show. God bless him. Every other day he'd wash my hair, and every couple of months he would do a chemical relaxer. I look at those years in the 90s, and I had great hair. Andre was perfect for me. From 1986 until 1998, it was all my own hair. It wasn't until after Beloved that I started wearing wigs. Peter Owen, who made these incredible natural wigs for the film, agreed to do some for me so that I could start preserving my own hair. Of course, today, I still have some help. I stopped having my hair relaxed over 10 years ago. If you see my hair long and straight, it's because my hairstylist, Nicole Mangrum, spent 2 hours blow-drying and flat-ironing, and it's probably a warm and sunny day with zero humidity. Or she's standing nearby with a flat-iron ready to fight me fuzz. It's challenging taking care of my natural hair, which is super thick and past my shoulders. For the hair tails, I wanted to wear my natural hair. I didn't want to be sitting up there talking about my hair while wearing someone else's. So it was washed, sectioned, and twisted, left to dry overnight, and then Nicole separated each little curl. When I don't have the help of Nicole, I'll often pick up one of the girls. And by girls, I mean my wigs. Diana, Tina, Beyonce, Viola, they're all named after African-American women. Those wigs come in handy. I've also worn my hair braided to keep it protected or when I would travel to Africa. One visit, we were waiting for Nelson Mandela to helicopter into this village. I was sitting there with the mayors, chiefs, and all the dignitaries, and they were like, "We are so excited. Oprah Winfrey is coming with Madiba." And I said, "I'm Oprah Winfrey." They replied, "You are Oprah Winfrey? You look like a girl from the village. We want to see the real Oprah." Lesson learned, when you go to Africa, try to look like you do on TV. Today I'm at peace with my hair, whether it's in braids and I look like a girl from the village or pulled back into a ponytail. I also know how to tie a great headscarf. I did it so well the other day, I went, "Oh boy, do I look like Maya or what?" I hope people, especially African American women, will see themselves in the stories shared in the hair tales and be affirmed. And just so you know, my own hair tale isn't complete. There are still wigs to be worn, ponytails to be placed, and curls to be coiffed. And I'll continue to celebrate my crowning glory for all that it is, strong, purposeful, and resilient. Our next article by Kate Headings is titled, "Make Breakfast the Best Meal of the Day with This A to Z Guide." Weekday family breakfast may be a hectic meal, but with a little patience, planning, and creativity, you can easily turn it into the best part of the day. Consider playing a little word game around the table, having the kids help prep and cook, or making something unexpected every now and then, like a Quaker Oats Tex-Mex breakfast bowl extravaganza. This A to Z guide to amazing tips, activities, and recipes will help you start your day. A is for affirmation. Start the day with a positive outlook affirmation. Consider rotating the daily affirmation so each family member picks one to share or come up with the affirmations as a group. B is for berries. Use an assortment of colorful, nutrient-rich berries to jazz up smoothies, Quaker Oats oatmeal, and cereal. They can also be put on the table to nosh through breakfast. C is for crisp. That warm, delicious fruit crisp you enjoy with a scoop of ice cream after dinner? Well, it's not just for dessert. Load up on the fruit and enjoy a cranapple crisp featuring Quaker Oats as a breakfast time option, but you should probably pass on the ice cream. D is for dunkers. Instead of pouring or spreading them, put your condiments like syrup, jams, and preserves, even cream cheese, in little bowls for way more fun dunking and dipping. E is for efficiency. Sometimes the morning rush is no joke. Someone oversleeps, someone has to get out earlier than usual. On those days, you need to get breakfast done stat. F is for freezer. Planning ahead can be a weekday cook's best strategy, and your freezer is your friend. Take some time over the weekend to bake a large batch of muffins or prep stacks of waffles and pancakes, then pop in the freezer as breakfast options for the Monday to Friday crunch. G is for game. Wake everyone up with a fun morning game to play at the breakfast table. Start with classics like 20 questions or telephone. H is for holiday. Get inspired and celebrate national food holidays like National Muffin Day, February 20th, National Cereal Day, March 7th, and National Oatmeal Day, October 29th. I is for intention. Set the mood for the whole day with a conversation about intention. Start a discussion about what each family member's goal for the day is, why they are focused on that goal, and their motivation for achieving it. J is for join in. Everyone should take part in the making of breakfast and not just the eating part of it. Prepping the morning meals makes for a fun family project. Even little ones can stir the batter or dump pre-measured ingredients in a bowl with parental supervision. K is for knowledge. Use time at the breakfast table for a quick review of upcoming exams, presentations, and the like. For some, talking through key points may help cement the facts. L is for little. Here's a thought. Don't think big, think small. Mix things up at breakfast time by making mini versions of classics like pancakes, frittatas, and oat muffins. M is for make ahead. There are plenty of recipes you can prep the night before to reduce your morning stress. N is for nutrients. Breakfast is an important meal that you don't want to skip. As a rule of thumb, aim for a nutritious breakfast trio of grains, fruit, and protein to help start the morning. O is for outside the box. The breakfast rut is real. Try to cook some new and delicious morning recipes. P is for productivity. Each day can present a laundry list of tasks. Morning is a great time to get organized and focused for the day ahead. Q is for question of the day. While everyone is enjoying their oatmeal or French toast, go around the table and ask a singular question to start the day. One to start with: if you could have breakfast with anyone in the world, who would it be? R is for reflect. Take a moment to look back on the previous day and think about what you can do to make today even better. To make this a family activity, ask each family member to share a high and low moment from the day before and talk through how they can apply yesterday's lessons to today. S is for swap. Breakfast for dinner is a thing, so why not let dinner inspire breakfast? Try swapping meals around, making breakfast enchiladas, breakfast pizza, or savory oatmeal bowls. T is for table. Breakfast doesn't need an elaborate setting by any means, but it still helps save time to set the table for breakfast the night before. Let the kids pitch in too. U is for unexpected. Every now and then, introduce something new to the morning table. It could be as simple as slicing your fruit differently, using mugs instead of bowls for eating, or even introducing a new food like kiwis or kumquats. V is for variety. Classic oatmeal is a go-to breakfast option for many of us, but it's also fun to shake things up so every day is a little different. W is for weekday. Weekends aren't the only time to have fun. There are so many great weekday activities to do with your kids, from arts and crafts to baking projects. X is for extra. Add a small handful of oats to your next smoothie. Give the blender a few extra seconds to ensure the best texture. Y is for the yummiest creamy tiramisu oatmeal. With luscious mascarpone and a hint of espresso, it'll be easy to get the family out of bed for this Quaker Oats breakfast time treat. Z is for zen. A peaceful, fun-filled breakfast is the most zen-like way to help start the day. Pull ideas from this A to Z guide to see what works best for your family. Our next article by Lane Dalfin is titled, "What Does It Mean to Dream That I'm in My Childhood Home?" I've had several dreams where I'm walking through rooms and looking out windows. I can't recall what they are, but in all the dreams, I have some sort of interaction inside that house. Before I wake, I realize I'm in my childhood cottage every time. I haven't been at that cottage for over 25 years. What does this mean? Signed, Childhood Cottage. Dear Childhood Cottage, reading your dream, my first thought would be to title it Seeing Today's Situation Through Yesterday's Eyes. According to this view, your dream could signal a current situation in your life that triggers a memory or feeling from the past. Since this is a series of repeating dreams, any particular repetition could help you identify the life situation you are discussing with yourself. For instance, do the interactions always follow the same pattern or tone? Do you experience the same emotions in these dreams or wake up feeling the same way? If so, then ask yourself, what current situation in your life tends to create this pattern of interactions or emotions for you? With the repeated setting of a childhood home, I wonder if those dreams are pointing you to a current angst that involves someone you associate with that cottage or know from that time. For example, are you currently having an issue with your mom, your dad, a sibling, or someone else from your childhood? Consider also your responses from that period. Is there a recent situation in which you started to respond the way you did in your childhood? Did someone like your mom, for example, recently treat you in a way she used to? Was your first emotional reaction the same as it would have been back then? In fact, our emotional reactions from childhood have pretty good staying power throughout our lives, so much so that those feelings could be triggered by similar situations with someone whom you don't associate with the childhood cottage. Whether it's someone from back then or it isn't, your memory or feeling from childhood may or may not fit what's going on today. This series of dreams can help you determine what waking life situations are triggering a childhood feeling, whether or not it's currently appropriate. For example, if you would say that this series of cottage dreams makes you feel anxious each time, you can ask yourself what childhood interactions made you feel anxious and what recent interactions are making you feel the same way. Is the anxiety reaction the most appropriate one in your current situation? In addition to emotions, these repeating dreams all contain some sort of interaction, so ask yourself which interactions today are tied to your childhood memory. Perhaps these dreams are prodding you to separate the two situations emotionally and recognize that they are not the same. Your dreams can help you interact within today's waking situation in a way that's appropriate today as opposed to reverting to childhood patterns. If this example resonates with you, I will add how your recurring dreams have served you well. They successfully grabbed your attention and in doing so will push you to investigate their source. The action of walking through rooms and looking out the windows suggests a metaphor for considering different perspectives. If the cottage appears because something reminds you of how you felt in childhood, then the rooms and windows point you toward different views of your situation and possibilities for responding. Here's an alternative interpretation altogether. Does your childhood cottage evoke for you a time when you felt happier than you do now? Perhaps more confident or free? If your response is yes, these dreams could be urging you to reclaim those feelings. All kinds of wisdom can grow out of an awareness of the connections between our present and past. In this example, your dream may be there to reconnect you with positive sensations from your past, such as truth, faith, joy, self-confidence, or a sense of possibility. Our dreams provide a safe place to rehearse behaviors. What kinds of behaviors might be rehearsed with your dream actions of walking through rooms and looking out windows? Perhaps feeling a sense of safety, security, and most importantly, freedom to play. In fact, your dream may provide a direct solution right there for the taking. If your childhood cottage evokes positive emotions in contrast to your current situation, perhaps you can follow the scene you created and take time away to visit a quiet cottage in the woods. It might be just the prescription to rekindle and wake up those forgotten and wonderful feelings. Our next article by Michelle Darasaw and Princess Gabara is titled, The Best Songs to Wake Up to Each and Every Morning. The secret to rising and shining with glee may be hidden in your playlist. In 2016, psychologist David M. Greenberg and Spotify's data team found that songs with a slow build, a positive message, and a strong beat will help you wake up in a better mood. If getting out of bed is a struggle, these songs will make your mornings a bit brighter. Brave by Sarah Bareilles. You'll believe you can conquer anything when waking up to Sarah Bareilles' Brave. Hillary Clinton used it as one of her entrance songs during her 2016 presidential campaign. In Bareilles' 2015 memoir, she wrote that the track's message focuses on how we could try to be stronger than our weaknesses and shine a light on something better. Lovely Day by Bill Withers. Try singing these words of encouragement to yourself in the mirror each morning. When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to face, when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, when I look at you when the world's all right with me, just one look at you and I know it's going to be a lovely day. Oh, and bonus points if you hold the long note at the end. Run the World, Girls by Beyoncé. How could you not feel like you can crush the day when starting your morning off with Beyoncé's hit 2011 single? After asking yourself who runs the world, insert your name in the chorus for an extra boost. Beautiful by Christina Aguilera. Turn on Christina Aguilera's powerful 2002 ballad when you need a confidence boost in the morning. It's all about embracing your flaws and insecurities and believing you're beautiful in spite of them. The Cure by Lady Gaga. The pulsating beat of Lady Gaga's feel-good anthem will certainly help you get out of bed. When premiering the song during her headlining set at Coachella in 2017, Gaga told the crowd, "I've been through so much in my life and I've seen so much. You cure me every time with your love. May it be the remedy to your darker days ahead, too." I Smile by Kirk Franklin. Keep Kirk Franklin's gospel song in your morning rotation and be sure to wake up with a smile, just like the cheerful track urges. I Smile is a fun, urban, upbeat melody I wrote, Franklin told SongFacts.com in 2011. It's a declarative statement that I'm not going to live my life based on how I feel. I will live my life based on God's word. 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. Besides the incredible piano segment of the 2002 mega hit that catapulted Vanessa Carlton into stardom, it's the powerful lyrics that have kept us singing along all these years. It's such a miracle to have one song that pierces through everybody's space and every culture, Carlton told Elle in 2017. Stronger by Kelly Clarkson. This catchy song is a reminder that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Cue up the 2011 track at the gym if you enjoy working out in the mornings. It'll definitely help you push through those reps. Soak Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow. Open up the blinds and blast Sheryl Crow's 2002 hit single while preparing for your day. It's just the infectious nudging you need when telling yourself to lighten up. No Tears Left to Cry by Ariana Grande. When it's hard to find the energy to emerge from the comfort of your bed, Ariana Grande's 2018 single will do the trick. In a behind-the-scenes video, director Dave Myers spoke about the theme of the song and visual. The concept that we wanted to explore was the disorientation that you go through in life and the quest we all go through to find the ground again, Myers said. We sort of explore the ambiguity of whether we need to find the ground or the ground is just what you make of it. It relates to the optimism in her song. Respect by Aretha Franklin. Although this song was originally recorded by Otis Redding in 1965, the late Aretha Franklin turned it into a smash anthem for women in 1967. Put this on repeat after hitting the alarm clock to boost your self-esteem and to remember how much you're worth throughout the day. Skyscraper by Demi Lovato. Not all morning songs have to be upbeat or energetic dance tracks to make you feel better about yourself. Demi Lovato's heartfelt 2011 song is an example of that. If you've been feeling down lately, Lovato's Skyscraper will help you to remember that you're built for tough times and words can't tear you down. Hello, Good Morning by Diddy. Say goodbye to your groggy self the minute you hit play on Diddy's 2010 song, Hello, Good Morning, featuring Atlanta rapper T.I. You'll practically be dancing your way from under the covers after one listen. Happy Face by Destiny's Child. This 2001 song by Destiny's Child is a 3-minute-long affirmation set to music and impressive harmonies. Here, the trio encourages listeners to tap into their inner child in order to appreciate the small, mundane things encountered each day. Try to resist smiling when repeating this line from the chorus. I'm living, I'm able, I'm breathing, I'm grateful to put on my happy face. Stronger by Britney Spears. Not to be confused with the aforementioned track by Kelly Clarkson, Britney Spears' 2000 pop hit is a feminist battle cry. If you woke up with a case of the loneliness, this is the perfect song for singles to rock out to before breakfast. Reminder, you are stronger than you were yesterday, and your loneliness doesn't have to hinder you anymore. Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. Get a jump start on your morning gratitude list with Bob Marley's laid-back jam playing in the background. Marley's message is about overcoming adversity and understanding that every little thing is going to be all right, no matter what comes your way for the day. Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. Shania Twain's 1997 feel-good song includes lyrics about being fearless and recalling a fun night out on the town, but you can still listen to the upbeat track before rolling out of bed. Twain's Let's Go Girls ad-libs are just the jolt you'll need, giving you more energy for the day than any cup of coffee would. It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. Things could always be worse, as evidenced in this 1992 rap song by Ice Cube. From the second the song starts, there's this positive line. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. Ah, the perspective. Roar by Katy Perry. We can't promise Katy Perry's anthemic pop song will turn you away from the pillows, but it'll certainly put you in a more positive headspace for the day ahead with these motivational lyrics. I got the eye of the tiger, a fighter dancing through the fire, because I'm a champion and you're going to hear me roar. Holiday by Madonna. Released nearly 40 years ago, the happy-go-lucky vibes of Madonna's Holiday still make even the most mundane Monday mornings feel like a Friday afternoon. We can't promise Katy Perry's anthemic pop song will turn you away from the pillows, but it'll certainly put you in a more positive headspace for the day ahead with these motivational lyrics. I got the eye of the tiger, a fighter dancing through the fire, because I'm a champion and you're going to hear me roar. Holiday by Madonna. Released nearly 40 years ago, the happy-go-lucky vibes of Madonna's Holiday still make even the most mundane Monday mornings feel like a Friday afternoon. We have run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Brandi Spragata, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Oprah Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.